Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Mem Beis. We're on Daf Mem Aleph on Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Papa, Peiros Sheyotzu Chutz L'Tchum, if one has some fruit that was taken out of the Tchum, V'chazru, and brought back into the Tchum, so even fruit have a Tchum. We know that a person's possessions are bound to the same boundaries as the person himself. They cannot be transported out of the tchum of the person. So for instance, a person who was shoivis, who attained his Shabbos residence in this city, so his possession likewise must remain in that city and 2,000 amas beyond. So if these fruit were taken out of the tchum, so while they're outside, it's like a person who left the tchum. Right now they're limited to 4 amas. You can only carry them within the 4 amas. And if it was done b'mezid, so one is not allowed to eat them because you're going to be benefiting from an iser. One is not allowed to take fruit, possessions outside the tchum. But in this case, it was yotzu chutz l'tchum v'chazru, and they came back. They were brought back into the original tchum. Says Rav Papa, afilu b'mezid, even if this was done b'mezid, a person deliberately, he knew what he was doing, he took them out of the tchum, brought them back to the tchum. They haven't lost their makim, meaning they revert back to the original tchum. Since they're back in the original boundaries, you can carry them throughout that area and you'll have to eat them. Now this is unlike an adam, a person who left his tchum, as we learned in the Mishnah. If a person goes out of the tchum, so he's limited to 4 amas. He must remain within that dal amas. If he decides to leave that 4 amas, which is considered to be his current tchum, to leave that and go back into town, he hasn't gained anything because he wasn't allowed to leave those 4 amas. He's still considered like a yotze chutz l'tchum, and he'll still be limited to 4 amas. The only way that a person could regain the original tchum is if he was carried out. Let's say Nachram carried him both ways. So in this case, he's not at fault. He's not held accountable for it. He's not considered to be a yotze chutz l'tchum. He's merely like an object. In this case, since he was carried out and back in against his will, he gets back the original tchum. He's not considered a yotze. He never left the tchum. He didn't do it on his own. He was carried out against his will. So in this case, when he comes back, it's as though nothing happened. Says Rav Papa, when it comes to peiros, when it comes to these fruit, even if it was b'mezid, a person willingly, deliberately carried them out. So at that point, when they're still outside, they're limited to 4 amas. One cannot partake in that fruit because he's benefiting from the iser. But if he decided to bring them back as well, he did a double iser. Says Rav Papa, they regain their original tchum. Why is that? My time, anusininu. They're like an oynes. They're faultless. It's not their fault. They're held accountable for the iser that this person did by carrying them out and back in. Therefore, they're just like the case of the person who's transported two ways by the goyim. Therefore, they're back in their tchum, and one can carry them throughout the entire area, just like originally he was able to, and also they may be eaten, because since we don't consider these fruit to have left the tchum, they're not like yotze chutz l'tchum, they didn't do anything wrong, so they're not limited to 4 amas. And likewise, there's nothing wrong with eating them, because there was no harm done. This is where they were originally. So he took them out and brought them back in. Says, oh, nothing happened. It's not considered to be having hanah, benefiting tangible hanah from the hoitzach of the tchum. This is where they were originally, and this is where they are now. No harm was done. Says, oh, nothing happened. So that's the chiddush of Papa. Peiros that were transported both ways, even with mezid, it's okay. Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Yosef Bar Shmaya. So he asked the kasha of Papa. We have a brisa. Rav Nechemya, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Oimrim, Le'olam Asur. So also referring to fruit. So these fruit that were taken out of the tchum will remain asur ad shiachzur l'mekayim an shagigin. They're asur unless they're back in their original place, and this was done b'shagig. Only then can one eat it. Now, just for clarity, whenever we speak about iser and heter in our sugi here, pertaining to fruit, we're speaking about two aspects. Number one, that the heter means that you can carry them throughout the entire area. They're not limited to 4 amas. And it also means you're allowed to eat them. it's not considered to be benefiting from an Isser. So again, Rav Lezer and Nechemi tell us, fruit that were transported out of the Tchum remain Asr, Ad Sheyachzer L'Mekayim HaNeshagigin, unless they're brought back to the original Makam, the original location, and this entire episode took place with a Shagig. It was done inadvertently. B'Shagig in, only then, B'Mezid Loi, but otherwise, if it was taken out, B'Mezid, transported deliberately, there's no way to eat these fruits. So apparently, according to this Braisa, this halacha won't be true. If fruit were transported, B'Mezid, even if they're back in the original location, they're aser. They're restricted. They're considered like something which left the tchum. And they're limited to four amas. You can't eat them because you're going to be benefiting from an eser. Says the Gemara Tanoi, indeed, it's Machlokes Tanoim. And this is one shita. And Rav Papa actually is compatible with the Tanakama, as we're going to see in the following braisa. It holds that even when it was done by Mezid, since these are fruit, it's anusim, they're faultless and held accountable. We don't regard them as something which left the tchum. So since they're back home, we forget about the whole episode, no harm was done. The Sanya, Peretz Shiyotzu Chutz L'Tchum, B'Shoigig, Yachlu. If they were taken out, B'Shoigig, then you can eat them in their new location. B'Mezid, Lo Yachlu. But if they were taken out, B'Mezid, so we consider this to be an Isser, and therefore one cannot benefit from it, one cannot eat them, even at their new location. Rav Nechemya Aymer, B'Mkoyman, Yachlu. When they're in their original location, meaning if they will return back to where they were taken from, then you can eat them. Shaloi b'mkayman. But if they're out of their original location, they're sitting outside the tchum, lo yachlu, then one cannot eat these fruit. He says, well, let's analyze what Rechem is saying. My b'mkayman. So when he says that you can eat them provided they're back in the original location, what are we speaking about? How do they get back? How are they transported? If they were transported b'mezid, in that case, Rav Nechemya will hold. Well, since they're back home, it's okay. And in accordance with Rav Papa told us that there are nusim, they're faultless, and even if it was done b'mezid, we don't attribute that to the fruit, they're not held accountable, we regard it as though nothing happened. Is that what Rav Nechemya is saying? That can't be. V'oktani behedya, because it's clearly stated in the braisa that we mentioned earlier, Rav Nechemya, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Oimrim, Lo'ilam Asurim, they'll always remain Asur, Ad Sheyachzeru L'Mekayim HaNeshagigin. They're Asur unless two things took place. They're back in the original location, and number two, it was done b'Shagig. B'Shagigin, only when it was done b'Shagig. In which case, an Isser was not committed. B'Mezid Lo'i, but if it was done b'Mezid, they were transported b'Mezid, you cannot partake in these fruit, even if they're back in their location, because according to these shitas, although the fruits themselves are not held accountable, not responsible, they are nusim. But we reckon with the fact that a person committed an iser. He has transported them b'mezid. He's taken them out and back into the tchum b'mezid. So we regard even the fruit as though they were yaitzeh chutz l'tchum. They're considered like somebody who left the tchum, and they're limited to four amis, and one cannot eat them. Even if they're back home, because he's benefiting from an Isser. So it's very clear that according to Rav Nechemya, you cannot eat the fruit, even if it's back in its location, if it was done b'mezid. So apparently that's not what Rav Nechemya is saying. He's not allowing it to be eaten when it's back in its location, b'mezid. El alav, must be. What was Rav Nechemya saying when he said, b'mkayman yachl, if it's back home it could be eaten? What case? Elalav v'mkoyman b'shoigeg. Specifically if it was done b'shoigeg. Meaning, you need two positive elements here. Number one, there was no aveir really committed, because it was done b'shoigeg. There's no issue here. Number two, currently speaking, it's back in its original tchum. But if it's outside, if it's sinichos tchum, you cannot eat these fruit. So that's the shita of Rav Nechemya, or Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Both positive elements are required to allow these fruits to be eaten. And the Tanakam will hold? No. He'll say, well, if it's b'shoigeg, and it's still out of the tchum, that's okay. Because there's one positive element here. It's b'shoigeg, no issa was done. Number two, if it's back home, and it's in its original tum, even if it was bemazit, it's okay. And according to Rav Papa, meaning, according to Tanakama, even one positive element is sufficient to allow partaking in these fruits. Bechsura mechsura vachitani. Let's approach the Braisa as though it's missing some words. And this is how we're meant to learn it. The Braisa begins with Tanakama. Perish yotzuchus tachum. Perish that were taken out of tachum. Bishoygege achlu. If it was done bishoygege, in which case there was no isr done, then you can eat them. Bemezid lo yachlu. But if it was taken out bemezid, so there was an isr that took place, then they cannot be eaten. Ba'medvar mamur. When is this? When is this isr apply? When is it said? Shaloy bim kaima. If they're outside the original location. So, if it was done b'mezit, and it's also sitting outside chutz l'tchum, so we have two negative elements here. Because it was an isr done, b'mezit, and also it's currently outside the tchum. In which case, you're benefiting from the isr if you're eating it out there, because you're enjoying tangible benefits from the fact that the person transported to this location. So only in that case is it asr. You have two negative elements here. Mezit, and it's also shloim b'mkayman. Avol b'mkayman. What if it's back home? Afilu b'mezid yachlu. Even if it was transported b'mezid, it's okay. Because according to Tanakama, as long as there's one positive element present, that suffices to allow eating these fruit. Meaning, if it was done b'shoigig, so that's one positive element, there's no issa done whatsoever. So even if it's currently outside the tchum, that's okay. So although it's limited to four amos, but you can go and eat it. Because you're not benefiting from Isser. There was no Isser done, it was B'shoigig. That's one example. Or alternatively, if it's back home, in that case, we have that positive element, because it's back in its original Tchum, you're not really benefiting from any Isser. In that case, even if it was B'mezit, in which case an Isser was committed, we don't reckon with that Isser. As Rav Papa told us, the fruit are faultless. They're anusim. So even if this person committed an Isser, he took them out, brought them back to Mezid, but since they're back home, we disregard the person's actions. We focus on the fruit themselves. They're back home, no harm was done. So that's the Shita of Tanakama. As long as there's one positive element, that's enough to imater these fruit. And this is in accordance with Rav Papa, who says when the fruit come back home, even if it was done by Mezid, it's mutter. V'asr Rechemi lemeimar. And Rechemi comes along, he says, no. You need to have two positive elements. Afilu b'mkayman nami. Even if it's back home, b'shoigeg in b'mezid loy. Only if it was transported b'shoigeg, it will be mutter. If it's back home. But if it's transported b'mezid, in which case, then issa was done. Even if it's back in the original tchum, it would be asr. Because according to Rav Nechemia and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, you need two positive elements here. You need to have number one, that was b'shoigeg, in which case there was no isser committed. And number two, it's back in its original location. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 5 lines from the top. Elalav, al karach, you must say, hay b'mkayman b'shoigeg kamar. When Rav Chemi says, he specifies that the only way you can eat it, if it's b'mkayman, back in its original location, apparently he's referring to shoigeg. Mechlal, apparently the Tanakama, afamezit shari. Tanakam allows it to be eaten, even if it was transported by Mezid, when it ended up back in its original location. Tanakam subscribes to two leniencies, meaning either or. Either if it was transported by Shoyi, in which case there was no Isser done, so even if it's currently still out of the Tchum, you can eat these fruit. Or if it's back in its original location, in which case, we ignore the fact that it was transported in and out. So in that case, even if it was b'mezit, we disregard the isser of the person, and therefore, the fruits can be eaten and can be treated as though they never left the tchum. So one or the other is sufficient according to Tanakam. V'chsor mechsa, v'chulu shloi b'mkayman. This is the Braisa speaking. If it's out of its place, shloi chazru, hu du b'mezit lo yach. If it's out of its place, and also, it was b'mezid. Then you can't eat it. Im yasu b'mezid. Avo chazru b'mkayman. B'mezid nama yachl. But if it's back in its original location, in that case, Even if it was done by Mezid, you can go and eat it. Because it's back home, and this is in accordance with Rav Papa. So that's the Pshat of Tanna Kamma. When Tanna Kamma says, B'shoigi can eat it, and not by Mezid, he's referring to a case where it was out of the makom, where it's out of the location, sitting out of the tchum. In that case, it would differentiate between Shoigi and Mezid. But if it's back home, then even if it was done by Mezid, it's okay. So in summary, according to Tanna Kamma, one positive element is enough. For us, he says no. We require both positive elements to be present to be matter the fruit. It needs to be b'shoyi and also back in its original location. Says Rashi, hi b'shoyi ki achlu b'mezid lo yachlu the kamrus. This that you've said that when it was b'shoyi you can eat it and b'mezid you can't. Asher lo yom kaiman is only referring to when it's out of its original location. But if it's back home, then you could eat it regardless. Ei noy kein. That's not so. Elo amakoyman itmar. This differentiation of shaking and mezid actually pertains to a case when it's back home. Dim chazulim koyman. If they were taken back to the original location, b'shoyi yachlu. So if it's back home and this transportation took place b'shoyi, in which case there are both positive elements present, so no iser, and it's also back home, you can eat it. Vim b'mezid, but if it took place b'mezid, in which case an iser was committed, lo yachlu, they cannot be eaten. Because according to Rav Chemia, you require both positive elements to be present. Number one, no iser was committed, and number two, it's back home. However, Tanna Kamma, the Tanna Kamma is like Rav Papa. He was like Rav Papa, that even if there was an avera committed, it was b'mezid. But once it's brought back home, back to the original tchum, we disregard the impropriety of this person. We focus on the fruit themselves. They're faultless. They're not held accountable. They're a nuisance. And therefore, no harm was done. They revert back to the original status. It's as though nothing happened. Let's see the Gemara. So at this point, in summary, if we have two positive elements, all agree it's mutter. Meaning if it was b'shayik, no issa was committed, and also the fruit are back home, all agree it's mutter. When there are two negative elements here, meaning it was b'mezid, and it's still sitting out there, all agree it's asr, because he's benefiting from the issa by eating it out there. So certainly, the fruit cannot be eaten according to all shittas. The question is, if one or the other are present, meaning it's back home, but it was b'mezid, or it's sitting out, outside the tchum, shaloi b'm kaiman, but it was b'shoyi, in which case an issa was not committed, then we have a machlekes. According to Anakam, it's mutar, and according to Nechemiah, it's us. Says the Gemara, loy, let's not assume this is the right interpretation of the machlekes. Perhaps all agree that if there was a mezid committed here, if there was an isser done, it would be us even if it was returned back to its original location, unlike Rav Papa. Says the Gemara, loy, b'm mezid b'm kaiman d'kuli amal e'pligid asr. Even if it's a back b'm kaiman, but if it was done b'm mezid, all agree perhaps that it's asr. Because an isser was done, and you may not benefit from the isser, you can't eat these fruit, and this is not like Rav Papa. How are we going to interpret the machlekes? Machlekes only pertains to a case where it was b'shoigi and shalei b'm kaiman. So there's one positive and one negative element here. It was b'shoigi, no isser was done, but it's currently out of its location, shalei b'm kaiman. Perhaps only in that case is there a machlekes, Tanna Kamma who allows, and Rav Chemia doesn't. V'acha b'shoigi shalei b'm kaiman pligi. Tanna Kamma savar b'shoigi shari shalei b'm kaiman. He says, well, even if it's out of its location, but since it was b'shoigi, in which case there was no isser done, he's not benefiting from an isser, and therefore he can eat it out of the tchum within the four amas, of course. Rav Chemia savar afilu shoigi. Even if it was done b'shoigi, in which case no isser was committed, b'im kaiman in. If they're back in the original location, in which case you have two positive elements. Number one, on account of the intent, there was a shoigi, there was no isser. And number two, on account of its location, it's back home. Only then can you use it. Shaloi b'im kaiman loy. But if it's outside of its original location, so although you have the positive element of lack of intent, it was b'shoigi, no isser was done, but since it's out of its location, loy, you cannot eat these fruits. So that's the machlekes. Why would you not be able to eat it? Explains Tosis, because there's a concern that if we allow him to eat it, since really you must keep them within 4 amos. The concern, if you allow somebody to eat it, perhaps they'll take it out of the 4 amos unknowingly. Therefore, Mechemia holds, you may not eat these fruit even if they were transported by Shagig. So perhaps that's the Pshanda Machlekes. But all would agree that if there was any mazen involved, that it's also, even if it was brought back to the original location, you may not partake, may not benefit from something where an issa was committed. So all agree that halacha would be asr and would not be consistent with Rapapa. Says the Gemara, but I'm going to prove to you that that's not the case, that the Kama holds like Rapapa. Why? Let's take a closer look at the wording of the Brice. Vaha midiktani sefer. Because if we take a look at the Brisa, the other Brisa that was brought, the Gemara calls it the Sefer. Reb Nechemya, Reb Lezer, and Yaakov Oimrim, L'Oilam Asurim, fruit that were transported out of the Tchum, will remain Asur until Ad Sheyachshu L'Mekayim and Shogegin. Unless they return back to the original location and was done B'Shogeg. Shogegin, only B'Shogeg, B'Mezid Loi, but not B'Mezid. Mechlal, now the fact that there, Reb Nechemya, Reb Lezer, and Yaakov are insisting that it's only mutter in this case, when it was brought back with Shogeg, so they're coming to challenge somebody. They're coming to challenge the Tanakama. Apparently, Mekala Tanakama suffer, but Mezid, not Mishari. Even if there was a Mezid committed here, it was done deliberately. But since it's back home, it's okay. Shmamino, indeed, this is a Raya. Tanakama holds like a Papa. So in summary, regarding fruit that was taken out of the Tchum, we have 3 categories. If we have 2 negative elements, so to speak, meaning they were taken out b'mezid, so we have the intent, and also the currently shleibim kaiman, the outside of the original location, the outside of tchum, all agree that it's asr. Because one cannot benefit from the isr. You can't eat them at the current location, which will be a direct benefit of the isr. What if we have 2 favorable elements? Number 1, on account of the intent, it was b'shaykik. And number 2, they're back home. In this case, all agree that it's mutter, because there was no issa committed, and he's not having any anah from the issa. They're back home, they're back in the original tchum. What if we have 1 favorable and 1 unfavorable element here? For instance, it was done b'mezid, so that's the negative aspect, but they're bim kayon, they were brought back to the original location. The Gemara concluded, according to Tanakhama, it's mutter. In accordance with Shitas Rapapa, we don't consider eating them as though you're benefiting from the Isser, because they're back home. We don't hold the fruit accountable. They're not like a Yotze Chutz L'Tchum. They were carried in both directions. They're faultless. They're anusim. And therefore, one can eat them, since they're back in the original location, and they reattain, they regain the original Tchum. According to Nechemya, Blazer Yaakov, even in this case, it would be also because a mezid was done, and he's going to be benefiting from the issur that was done with the fruit. Likewise, in the case where it was b'shogeg, so we have that positive element, but it's shleibim kaiman, it's outside of its original location. So we have 1 pro, 1 con, the same machlekes. According to the Kama, it would be mutter, because there was no issur committed, it was b'shogeg. Whereas according to the other shittas, it's asr, as I explained. Although, in theory, they agree that one should be allowed to eat it, since there was no issa committed, he's not benefiting from an issa. So one can eat them as long as they remain within the 4 amma, a space that was granted to them. However, if we allow them to eat it, perhaps one will go ahead and inadvertently carry it out of the 4 ammas, which is us, and therefore, Reb Nechemya was a Yaakov hold. Even in this case, one is not allowed to eat those fruit. Continues the Gemara. Amar Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel, a person was out in the wilderness, ve'eini yedei tchum Shabbos. He's walking along and he can't really determine the tchum Shabbos. How's he meant to know how far he can walk? Mahalach alpayim psiyos beinonios. So very simple. He walks 2,000 average steps, as Rashi says, which is presumed to be an amma. Ve'zoi tchum Shabbos, and this is regarded as his tchum Shabbos. So for instance, he knows that from the point where at which he was present during Ben Hashmash, the onset of Shabbos, from there he may walk 2,000 steps, average steps, and that becomes his Tchum Shabbos. Now, perhaps it's not going to result in a precise 2,000 Amma, Nevertheless, the Chachamim said this is sufficient to measure, to calculate the Tchum Shabbos. V'omar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Shabbos bebikur, if a person spends Shabbos out in the open, in a valley, v'kifua nachar mechitza b'Shabbos. And what happened? In the middle of Shabbos, suddenly, Goyim showed up, and they surrounded the area with mechitzas. It became an enclosed area. Now these mechitzas are valid mechitzas. What is the halacha? Can this person walk throughout this entire enclosure or not? Says Rav Nachman, name of Shmuel, Mahalach Alpayim Amma. This person can only walk 2,000 Amma around where he was Shavis, where he was present during Ben HaShemashos, but he cannot walk past 2,000 Amma, even though he's right now surrounded in this huge enclosure, which is much larger than 2,000 Amma. He's limited to his original Tchum, which is 2,000. U'metaltal b'kula adei zrika, but he's allowed to be metaltal chafetzim, he can carry objects throughout this entire enclosure, which is now Rosh Hashayachid, even in the section which is beyond his tchum. How's he going to be metaltal adei zrika? By throwing. Let's take a look on Rashi inside, which is 13 lines from the bottom. It says Rashi, u'metaltal b'kula afilu chutz la'apayim she'en rishus la'halach. He can carry even beyond the 2,000 amma limit, where he can't personally walk there. Mutal letaltal adei zrika. He can carry through throwing. Kalaymar, meaning mutal lizruk sham. He can throw there. He can play some ball. He can throw an object into the section beyond his tchum. The kaimelan, because we know, we learned mechitza. So b'shabbos from mechitza, even a mechitza which was constructed on Shabbos, is considered to be a valid mechitza. So this allows him to carry throughout his entire enclosure. But when it comes to walking, he's limited. His tchum doesn't change. Because, let's remember, during Ben HaShemashos, there were no mechitzas here. This entire enclosure cannot be regarded as his Shabbos residence. He was Shabbos out in the open. So his tchum remains limited to 2,000 am. He can only walk up until 2,000. But past that 2,000, he can still carry something, because it's within the enclosure. Says Rashi, Melo Shaminon. So from these words, the fact that Rav Nachman tells us he can throw beyond his tchum, we hear from this the Betoich Apayim Metaltal Kedarka. Within the 2,000, certainly he can freely carry as usual. The Mechitzas Nina, because he's within an enclosed area. So when it comes to walking, he's limited to 2,000 Amma. He can carry just regularly through that area, because he's surrounded by Mechitzas, which is Rosh Hashanah. But in the space, in the section beyond his 2,000, he can no longer walk there. He must stop right there. But he can carry there by Zrika, by throwing something into that section. So that's the Shita of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna Amar, Mahalach Alpayim Amma. Certainly when it comes to walking, he's limited to 2,000. U'metaltal Dal Amas. When it comes to carrying something, he's very restricted. He can only carry within 4 Amas. He can't carry freely throughout this enclosure. Ask the Gemara, why can't he be metalto throughout the entire enclosure, like Rav Nachman said, through throwing? There's a concern that if you allow him to throw to the section that's beyond his tchum, he might be drawn, he might follow the object which he threw. He might decide that he needs it, and inadvertently walk beyond his tchum. Okay, so that explains why he can't throw something beyond his tchum. However, within the 2,000, why can't he just carry kiurche? Just normally. What's wrong with carrying within the tchum, which now is surrounded by mechitzas, which is just a yachid? There's no concern there. He's allowed to walk there. Says the Gemara, you know what the reason is? Mishum dahave ke mechitza, shenifretze b'maloya, l'makum asolo. The reason why he cannot carry even within his 2,000 amma enclosure, and we treat it like a karmelis, right? We said he can only be metaltal within 4 ammas. He can't carry something past 4 ammas. It's like a karmelis. You know why? The reason is because, based on this gzera, we don't allow him to transfer something into the section which is beyond his tchum, right? There's a gzera shami yimashach. He might follow it. So halacha is, whenever we have an area which is open, which has been breached, completely exposed to know the area to which it cannot transfer. It's nifritza l'makim ha'asala. That interferes with the status of the first section as well. It's as though it's open to a karmelus. So the two areas interfere with each other. And unless he separates himself, cordons himself off from the other area, it's as though he's open to a karmelus and he cannot carry. It's as though it's a place which doesn't have mechitzes. And therefore, he's restricted. He can only carry within 4 amas. He cannot carry 4 amas or more. So that's the pshat Rav Huna. Mishum dava kemechitza shenifritza lemak b'maloya. It's as though a mechitza was breached, completely breached and exposed, lemak ma'asala, to a place to which he cannot transfer something to, like a karmelus. Likewise, in this case, since you don't allow him to transfer to the section beyond his tchum, it's a makam asuma. So even the section within the tchum is asur. You cannot carry 4 amas there. It's been breached to makam asuma. It's like a place which has no mechitzes. And therefore, Rav Huna says, the only way you can carry is within 4 amas, like a karmelus. Continues the Gemara. So at this point, we have 2 shitas. Where Rav Huna, who doesn't allow carrying into that section beyond his tchum, and as a result of that, he's prohibited from carrying even within his tchum. And this is based on the gzeira shem yimashich. He might be drawn and tempted to follow the object into that forbidden area, whereas Rav Nachman says there's no such concern. Not only can he carry within the 2,000 Amah area, he can also transfer something beyond that section as well. Continues the Gemara with another quote, which seems to be a third sheet. Chia barav amar, mahalach al payim amah. So when it comes to walking, he's limited to 2,000. Umetalto ba payim amah. When it comes to carrying, he can only carry within the 2,000 amah. Says the Mer Keman. And according to whose shita is he making this statement? Whose reasoning is he following? The like Rav Nachman, like Rav Huna. Not Rav Nachman, nor is it Rav Huna. Meaning, according to Rav Nachman, not only can he carry within 2,000, but he's allowed to be metaltal in the other section as well, through throwing. So apparently he's not following that shita. Nor is he following Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says, this is a gzira, shema yimashich. And he cannot go ahead and transfer something to the section beyond the tchum, and that results in creating an iser, even within the tchum area. He's limited to within 4 amas, like a karmelus. Because it's nifritza l'makom asula. So, according to Chiya bar Rav, who seems to hold that you cannot go out and transfer to the area beyond, he says you can only be metalto within the 2,000. So if that's the case, meaning he's following Rav Huna's gzera, so how could he allow carrying within the 2,000? It's been breached and exposed to makom asur. Says the Gemara, Ema, learn as follows. This is what he meant to say. Metalto ba'arba. He walks 2,000. When it comes to tiltal, he can only be metalto within 4 amas. Just like a karmelus. Says Mo Yahachi Hain Rav Huna. If that's the case, then this is exactly Rav Huna's shita. He's not coming to offer a third opinion. Ema, learn as follows. This is how we're meant to read it. V'chein Amar Rav Chiya Barav. Indeed, he's coming to support Rav Huna that he holds he cannot transfer to the section beyond the tchum. There's a gzera, then he might follow it. And that results in creating an iser even to the entire enclosure, even to the area within 2,000 Amar, within his tchum, because it's been exposed to a makam asurah. Amar li Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman holds there's no gzera, shem yimashich, Rav Huna holds there is. Rav Nachman turned to Rav Huna. Lo yisif legalei d'shmol. You shouldn't be in disagreement of Shmuel. Rav Nachman was the one who quoted Shmuel. It does not hold of this gzera. There's no concern that a person will be drawn after his object. You're not meant to disagree with Shmuel. Why? The Tanikava say, because there's a brice that supports him, which indicates that there's no gzera in such a case. The Sanya, Hayamayded Uba. A person was walking along and calculating his tchum. And what happened? V'kolsa midasa v'chatsir. And his calculation, his tchum, ended smack in the middle of the city. Says the Braisa, Mutu l'talta b'chalir kula. This fellow is allowed to carry throughout the entire city. A city that has mechitzes, that has an erev, perhaps it's Yom Tov. U'b'l'vad provided, Shaloi yavar satchum b'raglov. He doesn't walk past the tchum. Says Rav Nachman, if he can't walk past the tchum, how is he going to be metaltal in this section of the city that's beyond his tchum. B'may metaltal. How is he meant to carry? Lavag dezrik. Apparently, we're speaking about throwing something. So he's stuck at the border of his tchum, but he can still carry past that by throwing an item. So apparently, there's no gzera that a person will be drawn after the chayfetz. Amrav huna loy al yidei meshficha. We're not speaking about throwing. We're speaking about meshicha, pulling towards oneself. In this case, explains Rashi, there's no concern. He's going to follow his chayfetz. When a person throws something, perhaps he'll decide, oh, I'd like to go retrieve it. So there, Rav Huna says it's a concern. He might be drawn past his chum after his object. But if he's merely bringing something towards himself, in this case, there's no concern. So that's the case that the Bryce is speaking about. He's limited to half the city. He can't walk past that. But he can be metaltal past the boundary, al-yidei meshicha, by bringing something in from outside, bringing something in to the tchum, in which case there's no concern. This will lead him to walk past the tchum. However, in our case that we mentioned earlier, with the person who was out in the field, in the bikka, and he has his mechitzas that were erected on Shabbos, we cannot allow him to even throw past the tchum, because he might go ahead and follow his item, in which case he's going to be going past the tchum. Omer Afuna, hayomoyde deba. This person was walking along and measuring, calculating his tchum. The kolsum medasa bechatzi chatzer, and it ended right in the middle of the chatzer. Aimly elachatzi chatzer. He can only walk up until that point, not past. Pshita, of course. Why would I think otherwise? Ema, learn as follows. This is what he meant to say. Yesh lechatzi chatzer. We give him half the chatzer. He's allowed to walk within that first half. Hainami pshita. This is also obvious. Why would I think otherwise? Says the Gemara. Maudetem. Perhaps I would think there's a concern here. Lechush. We should be concerned. Perhaps if you allow him to walk within that first half of the chatzar, since a chatzar is a courtyard, is a commonly used area. It's not like the mechitzas which were constructed out in the field, in the bikka. This is a permanent structure. It's a chatzar. It's commonly used. It's a residential area. Perhaps I'll make a mistake. I'll confuse matters. I'll say, well, if I can walk up until this point, why can't I walk further? It's considered to be one enclosed area. And perhaps this will lead him past the tchum. Kamashmon, Runa says, there's no such concern. He can walk up to the halfway point of the chatzar without any concerns. Omer Rav Nachman, Moideli Huna. Order of Huna held that there's a gzera of Shamay Yamashich. Person is allowed to throw past the tchum. Perhaps he'll follow the chayfetz. Rav Huna is moided to me. He'll agree to me in the following case. Hayu moided umba. This person was walking along, calculating his tchum. And his boundary ended right in front of the home. So we're speaking about a home that perhaps doesn't even have a doorway. It only has this svas tikra, the face of the ceiling, which is facing this person. In this case, since he has a very, very visible signpost here, look, I can only walk up until the home. The home itself, under that ceiling, is off limits. It's beyond my tchum. So since he has that mental signpost here, mutl talta b'chal bayis. In this case, certainly even Rav Huna would agree, he can't walk into the home. It's beyond his home, but he's allowed to be metalto. He can throw something throughout the entire home. My time and why? Why is this different? Hoyol v'tikras habayis chayvetes. The face of that ceiling, which is facing the person, makes it clear and evident. Look, I'm limited up until the home. His boundary has been clearly demarcated. There's no concern that will be drawn into the home. The tikra of the bias is chayvetes. It's as though it's descending downward and closing up the home and rendering it off limits. Therefore, even Rav Huna would agree, in this case, there's no concern that will be tempted to follow beyond the tchum. So in summary, we had a case where a person was Shabbos Babika. He spent Shabbos out in the open valley. On Shabbos itself, some nachrim came along and constructed a mechitza around this huge area. So when it comes to walking, all agree, he's limited to his original tchum of 2,000 amma. When it comes to being metaltal achevetz v'machlekes, according to Rav Nachman, he can carry freely throughout the tchum. But when it comes to the section that's beyond this tchum, he can also carry there aydei zrika, by throwing something into that area. There's no concern that he might be drawn after his chevetz and walk beyond the tchum. According to Rav Huna, there is such a gzer, therefore he says, when it comes to carrying things around, He must do it within four amis. Even in the Tchum area. Why? Because he cannot go ahead and transfer something to the section beyond the Tchum. There's a concern that he might follow that item into that area. So based on that, an Isser applies to the entire enclosure, because even the section of the Tchum area has been exposed fully to an area to which it cannot transfer, which is regarded like a carless as far as he's concerned. And therefore, the halacha is that a place which has a mechitza which was nifratz, a place which is asr, is regarded like a carless, and therefore he's restricted and limited in his carrying and his carrying ability, can only carry within four amas like a carless. The Gemara concludes that Rav Huna would agree in the following two cases. Ayde mishicha, if he's drawing an item towards himself, in which case there's no concern that he's going to follow that item out. And as we just learned, the sfas tikra, the edge, the face of the ceiling of the home, which is right in front of him, which tells him to stop, which clearly demarcates the boundaries here and eliminates the concern that perhaps he might be drawn into the home. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Nosson. So we have a machlekes, and Rav Nachman says there's no gzeira shami yimashech, and Rav Huna says there is. Ki tanoi. It appears that there's a machlekes tanoim, which is actually based on this very question. Machlekes we had now Mishnah. Ha'lichu le'ir acheres. The goyim took this person out of his tchum, and they transported him to a different city. V'nasnu b'der besar, or in these enclosed areas. What happens? For machlekes. Rav Gamliel, Rav Lezer, Rav Nazari Oimer. We regard this enclosed area like four amas. It's considered to be like one residential area, mahalach eskula. You can walk freely throughout this entire enclosure. Although, generally speaking, a person who's taken out of the tchum is now limited and restricted to four amas. But since he was placed in a mokei muk of machitzas, we consider this entire enclosure like one residential area, like four amas. And therefore, he can walk throughout the entire area. Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva, Oimrim? No, Ein Le'olah Ba'amos. Since he wasn't in this area at the onset of Shabbos, we can't regard this like his personal place of residence, and therefore he's limited to four Amos. So we have this Machlekes. Continues the Gemara. My love, shall we not say that the Machlekes here is based on the reasoning, on the Gzeira that we mentioned earlier. My love, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezman Azari, the Amru. Malchus Kula. They hold one can walk throughout the entire enclosed area because it's a makom of mechitzis. To like gazri hiluch der vesar. They don't say, well, let's make a gzera to prevent him from walking throughout this entire enclosed area, the der vesar, these animal pens. They don't say, well, let's restrict it on account of perhaps confusion that can arise. Atu hiluch bebika. Perhaps if you allow this, a person will stretch this allowance further and will go ahead and walk freely even when he was placed in a bika, which is an area which is not enclosed on mechitzas, where certainly he's restricted to four amis. So the fact is that we see they don't make a gzera. They're not concerned. If we allow this, perhaps a person will come to allow that. Says the Gemara, umudi hiluch ati hiluch legazri. In fact, from the fact that we see that they don't make a gzera, this type of walking, on account of the other type of walking, likewise, tiltal atahiluch not like Azri. In a case of a tiltal question, they won't say, well, it's usur to be metaltal past your tchum in that enclosed area where the goyim erected that mechitza and the bika, for concern that perhaps it might lead him to walk past the tchum. Tiltal atahiluch like Azri. They don't apply these gzeris when it comes to the tchum. So that appears to be their shita. They don't make the gzera, and therefore, it appears they don't hold the gzera shem yimashach like Rav Nachman. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva Doimrim, Ein Le'olah Ba'amis. When this person was placed by the goyim in this enclosed area, he's restricted to four amos. Why? Apparently, there's a gzera here. The gazri hiluch divrasar. They say, well, one should not walk freely throughout this entire divrasar, even though it's an enclosed area. Why? Because it might lead to confusion. They make a gzera in this case, or to on account of hiluch debika. If a person was placed by the goyim in a bika, in a unfenced area, one is not allowed to walk throughout this entire valley because it's an unfenced area. He's restricted to four amos. Therefore, they say, even when he was placed in a mukim of mechitzes, he's meant to limit himself to four amos on account of confusion. It shouldn't lead him to do so when it happened with an open area. From the fact that we see that they apply a gzera to one situation of hiluch on account of another situation of hiluch, likewise they would apply a gzera here as well, tiltul to hiluch, not megazri. Perhaps they would say, well, when it comes to carrying, in this case where the person was surrounded by mechitzes and his tchum ended at a certain point, and he'd like to carry even beyond that by throwing something, tiltul atu hiluch, not megazri. Likewise, they would apply a gzera that a person should not carry past the tchum section, because he might be drawn after his chafetz and might lead him to hiluch, which is aser, to walk past the tchum. So the Gemara at this point connects the two things. The first shita will not hold of the gzera, and the second shita will hold of the gzera. Says the Gemara Mimai, how do you know to connect the two things? Perhaps these two discussions are totally unrelated. The basis of the machlokes in our Mishnah, in the case where the goyim places this person in an enclosed area on Shabbos, is really based on a more fundamental issue, an erev issue. Why? Dilma ki loy gazir Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Perhaps the reason why they don't apply a gzera, they don't say we're concerned in the case of hiluch sar v'dir, in a case where a person was placed in the enclosed area, they don't limit him. They say, well, you can walk throughout the entire area. They don't say that should be asr, otu hiluch bika, on account of perhaps creating confusion. This might lead a person to walk freely, even when it was a bika, an unenclosed area. You know why they don't apply a gzera? They're not concerned. Hanimili hasam. That only pertains there. Why the shnei mekaymasim? These two areas, the enclosed area and the exposed area, are two separate types of areas. There's no reason to suspect that one confuse one for the other. So when they place the person in an enclosed area, why not walk throughout the entire area? It's a makam of daldamas. We treat it like a residential area, like one makam daldamas, as opposed to the bika, which is an exposed area. A person certainly would not even think of walking past the Aldamas. They're two different types, two varieties, they're two different types. Avol tiltul atu hiluch, the makam echadu. But in the case where we're dealing with one place, one enclosure. For instance, the case that we discussed earlier, the person was Shabbos Babika, so during Ben Hashmashos he was open and exposed in the valley. On Shabbos some mechitzes showed up, in which case he can walk up to 2,000. And the question is, can he go ahead and throw something, even at this section, which is beyond this tchum? Over there, perhaps, there's more reason to be concerned. It's makam echad. If you allow him to carry into that area, perhaps he'll forget himself and continue walking past his chafetz. He'll say, look, it's one makam. He won't differentiate between one place and the other. It can lead to confusion. So in that case, hachanami de gazik zera. Shema yamashach achafetze. In this case, certainly, perhaps, they would apply the gzera. Don't carry beyond your tchum, because you might be drawn after your chafetz. So perhaps, Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, even though when it comes to the halacha of the goyim placing the person in a deir v'sa, they allow, because there's no reason for confusion, there's no basis for gzera, as opposed to this case where there is a basis. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Kiva Nami, they as well, perhaps their shita is based on a more fundamental issue here. How do you know that the reason why they don't allow a person, when he was placed by goyim in a closed area, to walk throughout this entire area, he's limited to farms, perhaps that's nothing to do with gzera? How do you know that's related to gzera? Because that can lead to a pitfall in a different situation, or lead him to walk even in a case where it's an unexposed, with an exposed area like a bika. How do you know it has to do with that? Dilma, perhaps the reason there is, it's based on the following concept. Mishum de kasavi, they hold. Ki amrinam, kalabayis kulay ka'ara amizdam. When do we say? When do you adopt a formula that the entire home is considered to be like one unit? And regardless of its large size, we consider it merely like four amis. This is the person's personal space. When do we adopt that formula? Han immediately, that's only hechadesh shavas bavir mechitzin boidyoim. When a person was present in this enclosure in boidyoim, when it was still day, meaning he was there at the onset of Shabbos. This was his Shabbos residence. So at the point of Ben Hashmashos, when the Shabbos residence becomes initiated and established, this fellow was where? Within these mechitzes. Therefore, this entire enclosure is considered like his residence, his personal space. It's merely regarded like four amis. Avol hecha teloy shavas. But in a case such as where the goyim transported him out of the tchum, brought him into a place of mechitzis, he wasn't there in Baidyoim. It was like Shabbos Bavir Mechitz Baidyoim. He wasn't there at the onset of Shabbos. This place was not established as his Shabbos residence. Why? In this case, we don't say that the entire enclosure is regarded like four amos. Your home is elsewhere, in your original Makom Shvisa. Just because you were brought here on Shabbos, this doesn't turn into your Shabbos residence. We can't regard this entire enclosure as your personal space. Rather, we give you four amos. So even if you're in a makom of machitzes, you're limited to four amos. So this is the point of contention between the two shittas here. It's unrelated. The question of gzera, which was discussed earlier between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Concludes the Gemara. Omar Rav, Hilcha Sukkah Ram Gamliel, Bedir Vesar Sfina. The halacha follows from Gamliel, that if a person finds himself in a makom of machitzes, like the deer, the sar, or the ship, he's allowed to walk throughout the entire area. He's not limited to four amos. It's as though we gave him. It's as though we initiated a new makom shvisa for him. Even though he wasn't there during the Hashmashes, this becomes his new Shabbos residence. So since it's in a makom of machitzes, the entire area is one unit. It's considered like merely four amos. Ushmol amar, hilchas zekrav Gamliel b'sfino. We only follow Rav Gamliel by a ship. Like he walks throughout the ship. Aval b'dir v'sar loy. When it comes to a dir v'sar, we don't follow Rav Gamliel's shita, and is limited to four amis. So the Gemara will proceed to expound on this and explain what's the difference between one case and the other. Perhaps it would be wise to leave it for tomorrow. So in summary, let's just review today's daf. We began with the case of the Paris, which was transported out of the Tchum. We have four scenarios. When we have two elements which are unfavorable, they were taken out of the Tchum B'mezit, so Issa was done, and they're currently out of their place, all agree, one is not allowed to eat them because he's going to be benefiting from the Issa. If it was done B'shoigin, in which case an Issa was not done, and they're back in the original location, it says, oh, nothing happened. All agree, we'll go ahead and eat them because no Issa was done, he's not benefiting from Issa, and it's back in its original Tchum. In a situation where we have two elements, one positive and one negative, for instance, if it was transported, b'mezit, but the fruit are back in the original location, b'mkayman, b'mkhlekes, according to the Tanakhama, it's mutter to eat them, like our papa shita, anusim ninu. They're faultless. They're not held accountable for the isser that was done to them by this person. Therefore, since they're back in the original location, they receive the original tchum back, and one can eat them without any concern, because he's not benefiting from any isser. This is where they were originally. According to Rechem Yerlezim Yaakov, in this case it's Asar because at the end of the day an Issa was committed and he's benefiting from this. In a case where they've been transported b'shoigig, so that's one positive element, there's no intent, but they're shloibim kaiman. The location is problematic, they're outside the tchum. In this case as well, Tanakhama says it's mutter, as long as he keeps them within their four amis. According to the other sheet, this is Asar, as it explains, because if we allow them to be eaten, perhaps one might go ahead and remove them out of their four amah limit. We learned that if a person is out in the wilderness, he'd like to calculate Tchum Shabbos. How does he do so? By walking 2,000 Psiyos Beinonios average steps, and that is determined as 2,000 Amah for his Tchum Shabbos. We learned likewise if a person was Shavas Bebika, is out in the valley, and on Shabbos, some Goyim arrived and created some Mechitzes around this huge area. So he can only walk throughout the original Tchum of 2,000. Rav Nachum says he's allowed to carry throughout the entire enclosure. According to Rav Huna, he may not. We're concerned that if he throws into the section beyond his tchum, he might follow his object there and walk beyond the tchum. So as a result of that restriction, this creates an issa throughout the entire enclosure, which has been breached and exposed to that area. The Gemara concludes, in the following two cases, Rav Huna would allow, al-yidei meshicha, if he's drawing the chavetz towards him, in which case there's no concern that he'll be drawn after the chavetz. Likewise, if his tchum ends right before this sfas tikra, this ceiling, which creates that clear marking of its boundary, in this case as well, there's no concern. The Gemara concluded that perhaps the machlek is in our Mishnah regarding the goyim placing this person in this enclosed area. It's somehow related to the question of the gzera between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. The Gemara concluded the two things are unrelated.